Shukadev Goswami said, bless the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Vrishabhadeva, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who were no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn by these instructions. Lord Vrishabhadeva instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest, Bharata, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Vrishabhadeva lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. So you can repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Vrishabhadeva, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who were no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn by these instructions. Lord Vrishabhadeva instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest Bharata was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Vrishabhadeva lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself. And he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Vrishabhadeva's sons were not exactly meant for his sons, because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Vrishabhadeva's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Vrishabhadeva retired from family life and lived like a naked madman, even while still with his family. So, Om Ganatya Miranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, many people question, why did Lord Vrishabhadeva act like this? And, in fact, some people imitate Lord Vrishabhadeva. Of course, Prabhupada, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, talks about Maharaj Arhat, who took the example of Lord Vrishabhadeva, imitated, and eventually what's called the Jain religion was formed as a result. And in the Jain religion, of course, they don't really walk around naked like this, but they torture themselves. One of the things they do is they take the eyebrows, eyebrows? The things that the hair above your eyes is what an eyebrow is, and they pluck it out. Not that painful, actually. But anyways, they pluck it out and they do different things to torture the body, thinking that they're going to become renounced from the body by torturing the body. Similarly, in the Western world, you have these austerities the monks used to do in the Catholic Church. Like there's this thing called hair shirts. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know it's not very pleasant. Probably itches. It's like the clothes I used to wear when I went to services when I was a child. My parents would make me wear these wool suits. And children have very tender skin. Now wool actually feels good. But when you're young, just so you know, any of you dealing with children, that it just itches the hell out of it. I would call that itchy outfit. Mm-hmm. So like going to the service, the Jewish temple, I was just like complete misery because I had to wear a tie and an itchy outfit. So it didn't make me any more Jewish conscious or Krishna conscious or God conscious, as the case may be. In the same way, the monks, one time I went into this place in New York, it's called Ripley's Believe It or Not. I don't know if you've ever been there. Some of you might have been there. It showed all the ancient things the monks did to torture their body to try to become renounced. There was even a rack that they used, not just for torturing other people, but just to torture themselves, you know, stretch out the body. I guess it's good for the back. Gets rid of spinal problems. So stretch it out the back. And there was different things. They would confine themselves in very enclosed spaces, like a sarcophagus, practically speaking. And of course, in India, there's a tradition of that too. There's a tradition of putting yourself in the middle of fire in the summer and putting yourself in the winter, just like immersing yourself in a river that's very, very cold, like with ice cubes in the winter. I mean, I can't tolerate those things. I just want to turn the heater up in the winter. You know, some devotees, they turn the heater down. And then, you know, I just want to be comfortable. What can I say? And so they think that they're going to become more renounced from the body by torturing the body. Of course, Jatabharta, he is very clear about that point in his famous verse to King Rahugana. He says, Rahuganaita tapasana yati vachejya nirvapanat grahadva nachanda salat naiva jaladmi suryar vana mahapada vajopi shekam. He says, actually, you're not going to become renounced or Krishna conscious or anything spiritual by putting yourself in fire. He specifically talks about putting yourself in fire in the summer. And Indian summers are quite hot. You know, it gets like, of course, in centigrade, now I think in centigrade, it's like 45, 50 degrees, or like 120 to 130 degrees out. Or in the winter, just like now, you know, if I told all of you we're going to go swimming in the fountain down there after class, you would say, this is crazy. So Jatabharta talks about these things. It's interesting because Jatabharta is the second incarnation of Bharat Maharaj, who is being mentioned here in Srila Prabhupada's purport. So he says, not by austerity, nor by following Varnashram. He doesn't use the word Varnashram specifically, but he says by becoming a good sannyasi or a good grahastha, which is understanding, you know, following the Dharma, Varnashram Dharma. So, of course, he says that one has to actually take the dust of the pure devotees to become Krishna conscious. So this process of Jata Yoga doesn't make you renounced from the material world. Jata means like acting like a stone or a dumb person. Of course, we have people act like stones or dumb people even without doing Jata Yoga. They're just normally like that. especially when they wake up in the morning. You know, they're like stones. Anyway, so the point is, it's not going to really help you become renounced. So why is Lord Rishabhadev doing this? I mean, why is he walking around like a madman, naked, it's described here, and not even combing his hair? That's even the worst thing, not to comb your hair. Anyway, so why is he doing this? He's doing this to show not how to become renounced, but to show the ecstasy of pure devotional service. We've talked about this many times before when we were talking about the bhavas. Bhava means emotions. And of course, everyone has emotions. In the material world, it's bhava rog, which is the diseased emotions, like falling in love. And just like I was talking about someone who was on the verge of falling in love. Actually, I run into people all the time who just fall in love. Someone just wrote me a letter. This is the perfect girl for me. She's not Krishna conscious at all. She's a devotee. But we love each other. And then, of course, I have to understand Chanaka Pandit's instructions. Anyone who comes between a man and his wife or between a man and a woman becomes the enemy of both, and I just have to pull myself back. It's interesting how many times you can't give instructions to people because it'll just aggravate them. Opadesho himorkanam prako paya nashantaye. If you give a fool good instructions, it'll simply make them foolish. Just like another, you know, I get all these interesting emails. The other day, you know, Gurudev, I started smoking marijuana. I've decided this is my life, you know, this is really my desire. And do you still accept me as a disciple? So, you know, do you still love me? So, how do you respond? You can't say, you rascal, you demon. So you have to use a little bit of discrimination. Discrimination is actually very important when talking to people. Just like if you're dealing with someone who's going to leave their body, you don't go to them and say, hey, I heard you're taking a trip soon. You're not the body. So, sometimes people do that. So there has to be some discrimination. That was the point I'm making. So, anyway, getting back to the whole point of course, we're talking about madness in the material world, bhava rog. But there are bhavas that the pure devotees experience, and it comes to the point where you become so disinterested in this material world, you don't care a fig of what you look like anymore. I'm not saying that we should do that. I mean, some devotees who joined the movement in the early days, they did that. And not because they were on that platform, but because they were hippies before, and still some of the drugs were in their system. Flashback. So you get to the point where you really don't care what people think about you. I mean, that's real detachment, isn't it? Because you're in so much bliss. And in one sense, you'd rather people don't think well of you so they don't bug you. You know, just imagine if you were a king like Lord Vrishabhadev. People were coming to him all the time with all their problems. My dear Lord Vrishabhadev, I need money for this. My dear Lord Vrishabhadev, my wife is not nice to me. What should I do? You know, just like in your position of authority, I experienced this. People come to you with all these questions, you know, psychological questions, physical questions, emotional questions, management questions. And then after a while, you just want to throw away your computer. So, it's a fact. I mean, some of my godbrothers actually do that. They don't throw away the computer. They just have an automatic response in their emails. I'm not responding to any emails. Sorry for the inconvenience. So, it's something like that. And then also they're experiencing so much ecstasy, they practically lost any sort of external consciousness. I mean, the typical example that comes to mind is Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is also walking around with matted hair or dancing. With matted hair and naked. And it's interesting, his devotees, they're generally wealthy. That question is raised in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, in the 10th canto. Why is it the devotees of Krishna are generally not so wealthy? I mean, there's exceptions, of course. And why are the devotees of Lord Shiva, you know, just very wealthy, whereas Krishna, it's interesting. The devotees of Krishna are not wealthy, but Krishna's very opulent, you know, walking around, you know, with the peacock feather, all this jewelry and everything like that. And his devotees are poverty-stricken, whereas Lord Shiva's poverty-stricken, his devotees are wealthy. You know, you have this contradiction between the person being worshipped and the worshippers. You know, they're completely manifesting differently. You'd think that the worshippers would actually imitate the worshipped, but it's not exactly like that. Because Lord Shiva, he's called Ashutosh. All right, so why is he Ashutosh? Because people come to him with all these material desires. He says, okay, take it, leave me alone. You understand? He's so much immersed in Krishna Prema, dancing like a madman. I mean, there's that story that in the Chaitanya Mangal, where Lord Shiva gets this Mahaprasadam from Narada Muni, you know, a little speck of Mahaprasadam. And he starts dancing so much that Parvati's afraid he's going to destroy the whole universe in the process. Isn't it? She thinks, you know, and she stops him. And he gets angry at her, at Ashutosh. Why do you stop me from dancing? And she says, I was afraid you're going to destroy the whole universe. You know, why were you dancing like this? The Tandava Nritya, practically speaking. And he says, because I got Mahaprasadam. Of course, then she got angry because she didn't get any Mahaprasadam. It's an interesting story. So the point is that that's why he's Ashutosh. You know, if someone comes to him, you're all right, I want some benediction. Okay, take the benediction, leave me alone. And if they disturb him too much, that's why he gets angry sometimes. Then he just gets angry. Why are you disturbing my meditation on Krishna consciousness? So he gets angry with them. Just like, there's an interesting story that during Lord Chaitanya's dancing at Rathyatra, King Prataparuja was there watching and everything like that. And there was one devotee, Srivastava, who was in the way of the king, so the king's servant, I forget the king's servant's name, pushed Srivastava out of the way, you know, to get out of the way, and the king wants to see. You know, naturally, you know, someone in a superior position thinks he's in a superior. The king didn't think he was in a superior position, but the king's servant thought he was in a superior position. And then what did Srivastava do? Does anyone remember this story? He slapped him. He went, because this guy was interfering with him seeing the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Srivastava was known to have a temper. His wife was always a little nervous about it, around him. So then the king's servant, you know, got very upset. But the king said, no, you're very fortunate to get slapped by Srivastava. I mean, that's great mercy to get slapped. I would love to get slapped by Srivastava. Or by Prabhupada or any pure devotee, I'd like to get kicked by them. And then you have Lord Nityananda, who kicked, you know, there's another instance, who kicked Shivananda Sen, right? And actually even cursed Shivananda Sen because he was so upset. Of course, this is a pastime. He was saying, Shivananda Sen has not arranged my place and I'm so hungry, I could die. And then he cursed Shivananda Sen. Children to die. Shivananda Sen's wife, of course, was quite upset, understandably. And then Shivananda Sen was very happy to get the touch of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Anyway, so really, that's explaining why Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Because he just doesn't want anyone interfering. Either he tries to get rid of them by giving them a benediction. Get out of my face, you know. Let me chant my japa. You know, what do you want? Here's some money. Okay, take it. And then, but Krishna is actually doesn't do that with his devotees. If a devotee approaches him for money, he will only give the devotee something that won't interfere with the devotee's spiritual progress. So anyway, so you see the difference in the moods between Lord Shiva and Krishna. Anyway, they're both very merciful. So there's many, many stories about this devotional ecstasy, how it appears like madness. I mean, just listening to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotional ecstasies, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't exhibit those devotional ecstasies until he took initiation. I mean, he exhibited them, but he didn't manifest them, let's say. Because he wanted to show the importance of accepting a bona fide spiritual master. So when he was in Gaya, he accepted initiation from Ishwara Puri. And then he became just like completely crazy after that point. It's called Divyon Mata, transcendental craziness. So then his students came to school and they asked him, you know, to explain about the roots. The roots mean the roots of a word. Like every, you know, like words, you have roots. Not roots like a tree, obviously. But in each and every word, there's part of the word that is actually the root, and then you have the conjugation of that particular word. So what happened is they asked him to explain about the roots, and then he went on for hours and hours, like in a trance, explaining how Krishna was the root of all the words. The root of everything, which is true. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva prajantiva. As Krishna says in the 10th chapter, text 8, one of the nutshell verses of the Gita, I'm the source of everything. You know, Krishna's the root of everything. The root of everything. Everything comes from him. From him the entire creation flows. He's everybody's ambija pradapita. He's everyone's seed-giving father. So that's the root. So the students heard that. Of course, they were mesmerized. But sometimes they would actually complain to Lord Chaitanya's guru, that is teaching guru, you know, rhetoric and grammar guru, Gangadas Pandit. They would complain to him, you know, that your student is not teaching properly. And even Lord Chaitanya, after he would do that, he would come out of his trance and say, what did I say? What did I say? And I don't know what I said. And students would explain that, and he said, well, I really apologize for not teaching you grammar properly. And then other times, Gangadas Pandit would be called, because they called the teacher's teacher to chastise the teacher, which is interesting. In other words, going over the head of the teacher to chastise the teacher. And Gangadas Pandit would go to Nittai, to Lord Chaitanya. And he would chastise him. He would say, you know, why aren't you teaching properly? And Lord Chaitanya would apologize, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not teaching properly. I'm not doing a good job here. I'll rectify myself. And then, but then he didn't. Because there's so much ecstasy. And then he was experiencing so much ecstasy that everyone thought he had what's called a wind disorder. Now that's, to understand what that means, it doesn't mean like he had gas from eating the wrong things. But in the Ayurvedic tradition, when someone is crazy, because we say bananas, or if you're a psychiatrist, you consult your DSM-4. If someone, you never say a patient is crazy. That's a psychiatrist doesn't do that. You just say, he has schizophrenia. You don't say crazy. I mean, that would be really bad. You'd lose your license if you say to a patient, you are crazy. So, they thought he was... So in the Ayurvedic conception, it's due to an imbalance of life airs. That's really the understanding of what insanity is. Imbalance of life airs. And it's true that what I've seen, if someone really has some, let's say depression or something like that, if you put them on an extra cycle for half an hour and turn the motor on high, there's no depression after an hour, after a half hour. Because they may be dead from heart disease, but like sometimes I get these notes, you know, I'm experiencing, you know, schizophrenia. I said, go for a bike ride for half an hour. And they said, well, wow, it really helps. Or take a banana, you know, with potassium. It actually helps actually balance the body. So it is actually, the Ayurvedas do understand these things. It is in balance. So they thought, Lord Chaitanya has this wind disorder, and they told Mother Sati, you know, you just tie him up. Tie up his hands and tie up his feet and just keep him there. And then what happened is, Srivastava came, and Lord Chaitanya said to him, everybody says I have a wind disorder. And what do you think about this? And he said, that's a good wind disorder to have. In other words, it's a good wind, he said. You know, Krishna prema wind, where one actually experiences this ecstasy. And then what to speak of the ecstasy that Lord Nityananda exhibited. I mean, just like it's described about Vrishabhadev here running around with disheveled hair. And Lord Nityananda, he wasn't aware sometimes that he was naked. And he would just walk around like that. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? Lord Chaitanya had to give him his own cloth sometimes. And then sometimes feeling so much ecstasy, he would jump into the Ganges and swim after the crocodiles. And that's pretty interesting. He would try to like embrace a crocodile because he was in so much ecstasy. So, I mean, don't imitate that. It's not that you should go to the North Carolina Zoo in Ashboro and just like, you know, go to the crocodile pit. Because you will get bit if you do that. And then, you know, other members of the Panchatattva, of course, you have Advaitacharya. I was just hearing about that, how Advaitacharya, this is an interesting story. Advaitacharya was reading the Bhagavad Gita, and he didn't understand a particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he's God, and he didn't even understand one of the verses. So don't worry if you can't understand a verse, because even God can sometimes, and it's his words. So it was the verse, you know, the eyes, not the eyes, the hands and legs of the super soul are everywhere, and this way the super soul exists, you know, pani, ahani, pani. Anyway, so he just didn't understand that, you know, what does it refer to? You know, because we're worshiping Krishna, and then with hands and legs everywhere. And so he started fasting, and eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and explained the verse. So later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting his Mahaprakash Lila, it's interesting, he was talking to all the devotees how he had appeared to them in different ways and helped them in different ways. Then he explained to Advaitacharya what he had done to explain the verse previously, and Advaitacharya just swooned and went into ecstasy and became unconscious. Similarly, with Haridas Thakur, because we know the story that Haridas Thakur got whipped in 22 marketplaces. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's such an interesting story, actually. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when I saw the Muslims doing that, I came down with my Sudarshan Chakra to kill them all. But I was stopped by your compassion. It's interesting, because that Haridas Thakur was praying so intently for the people even who were attacking him that he was able to stop the Lord from killing them with their Sudarshan Chakra. Can you think about that? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? The compassion of this great devotee. Anyway, so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, even when they were hitting you, I didn't want you to experience any pain. So I took the whip march, or took the whip on my own back, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his own back to the devotees, and his own back had all these whip marks on them. Interesting. And Haridas Thakur at that point just like started crying and rolling on the ground to hear about the Lord's love for him, the Lord's protection. So you see this continually with these great devotees. Shukadeva Goswami not being able to speak the name of Srimati Radha Rani in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or else he wouldn't have been able to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is symptoms of great devotee. So Rishabhadev here, it's my realization, is actually showing the symptom of a great devotee. The great devotee is always ready to just like let loose his emotions, and he's just pulling them back when he has a mission on earth. Like we have a devotee, you know, great pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. They're just holding back those emotions. You know, it just takes all their energy to hold back those emotions so they can carry out their particular service. But when the time comes, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the final days, he just exhibited that he was sick. So he could just like completely absorb himself in Krishna consciousness and just be completely disinterested in this material world. The pleasures, the pains, whether someone loves him, someone doesn't love him. I mean, we have so many concerns in this world due to the external interactions, isn't it? He loves me not, he loves me. I remember young people would do that. I never did that. But anyway, they take a flower, and wherever they ended up with the petal, you know, that's what it was, right? I'm not going to ask you to do that. So, which, you know, all these interesting just like all the interesting, you know, what do they think of me? They love me? Or like that. And then, but a pure devotee, he's just like, there's that spiritual world, the spiritual body. And practically the external consciousness is not there anymore. And so they act like it. Sometimes act like a crazy person. And pure devotees, they look forward to that time when they can do that. Become like an avadu. In fact, that's where the poem we read of by Bhaktivinoda Thakur yesterday, when can I dress like an avaduta? He was saying that. Remember that? We chanted that yesterday morning. That when can I dress like an avaduta? Dress like an avaduta means dress like a crazy person. It doesn't mean, you know, you put on like some fancy silk sari or dhoti and you chew pan. So that's the devotee's hankering. Just when can I let it all loose and just like be in ecstasy and dance for 72 hours like the Keshava Pandit. Anyway, okay, on that happy note, all glorious to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.